The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. On a personal preaching note, I think that in the 21 years that I've been a pastor, I don't know that I've ever preached on this gospel text. Not intentionally, vacation probably had something to do with it. But I noticed, though, that the last time it came up, I preached not on the gospel reading, but on the second reading, which, as many of you know, I don't often do, as I find the gospel reading usually provides a better opportunity to preach the gospel. I think the reason I haven't preached on it is because I've never quite gotten the point of it. Well, after discussing this text every day since Monday, reflecting and praying about it, by George, I think I've got it. These are to be comforting words, especially to preachers, but also to all disciples who share the gospel. Why separate out preachers? Not because we're more special or in a higher position, no. But because the more you proclaim the gospel, the more flack you get for it, the more comfort you need. Why? Because that's just what happens when you tell sinners that they're not in control of God or of religion, and that all religious agendas mean zilch before God. Flack, you get flack. See, in chapter 10 in Matthew, Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, warns them that they're going to be maligned and harassed, but assures them that God, who values every single little sparrow, knows the hairs on their head, values them much more. So don't be afraid, he says. Jesus then says that the gospel message will lead to the breaking apart of families, as some will be disowned for claiming Christ. But, he says, family is not above God. Nothing in life is above God. Then comes today's reading, his final words before sending the 12 out for the very first time into persecution. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me," he says. "Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet or a righteous person, or even just helps quench the thirst of the least important," literally micro, "disciple of mine," the micro disciple of mine, "that one will receive an abundant reward, far more than they deserve." Do you see what Jesus is doing? He promises blessing to those who receive or even help his apostles. He has their back, he's saying to them. Even though they'll face persecution and maligning, Jesus also promises welcome to them. By the way, the word reward doesn't point to a heavenly scorecard or even an earthly scorecard, as in, do these good things and you'll earn bonus points or only good things will happen to you. We humans prefer to hear this that way because it puts us back in the driver's seat. You know, God, I did this, so now you have to do something for me. Reward simply means blessing. And it points back to the beginning of this text. The reward is that through the proclaimer, they receive Jesus and Almighty God. These words have comforted preachers and evangelists, sharers of the gospel, in every age. These words have also frightened preachers and evangelists in every age. We talked about this on Tuesday at our pastor's Bible study group for preaching. Imagine thinking that whatever you say or do can be connected by those who see or hear it to God. Imagine. Wow, that can be a lot of responsibility. And realistically, when you're in a public role, it puts a magnifying glass on all of your words and actions. However, here, Jesus is sending out his apostles to do a particular thing, to preach and teach and heal in his name. That's what Jesus points to when he says, when they welcome you, they welcome me and hear me and my Father. So in other words, every single word that a preacher or evangelist says is not to be heard with God's authority. Phew. Because you shouldn't be in my car and listen to me when I'm driving. But when it comes to preaching and teaching the gospel, we're to hear God's voice behind the one speaking. And this is all for the sake of the one hearing, so that the one hearing might actually hear God speaking forgiveness and mercy and love directly to me, to you, the hearer. Now, you might also imagine that this text also can be easily used to abuses of preaching. For example, when a preacher has a particular religious agenda instead of the gospel and uses their role to beat people over the head and then imagines that their rejection has something to do with the gospel instead of beating people over the head with something that's not the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. All Christians, including preachers, are sinful. And sometimes we need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need the mutual conversation, consolation, and correction of the saints to help us see when we're going afield of the gospel. I'm also thankful to be part of a church in three expressions that offers oversight to hold me accountable and a broader experience, more than just one congregation, of the communion of saints. So, what does this mean for those who don't have the public role of preacher of the gospel? Well, first, even though we need an office, a role of public preaching in the church to make sure it gets done faithfully according to the gospel, all Christians speak and proclaim the gospel. All Christians can't help but share the gospel. It's good news. How can we keep it to ourselves? And how will others hear if not through us? It means that we're all in this together. We really are the body of Christ with different roles and functions and work together. But best of all, what it means, this text means for people who aren't public preachers, it means for you that when you hear me or anybody in the role of a proclaimer of the gospel declare the forgiveness of all your sins, it's not just a liturgical exercise. It's not just words that are printed on a bulletin that we do rotely. You are actually to hear Almighty God, your Creator, King of the universe, saying it to you personally. Likewise, the meal, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, God speaking to you. In the waters of baptism, little Aaron, Jesus will soon say, I've got you. Likewise with the word. These words, right now, Almighty God promises to comfort and welcome to you as you share the good news with others who yearn to hear it. So in the end, it's not that I've got it by George. It's that I'm gotten. It's that we're gotten by the gospel. And more importantly, the most merciful God whose wounded hands hold all who proclaim it. Amen.